Wisconsin's failing health numbers. Dr. Patrick Remington at UW's Population Health Institute argues that public policy should be making healthy choices easier for people.
If you don't have a workplace or a community where exercise is safe and affordable and convenient, you're not going to be as healthy as you would be.
The latest report card on Wisconsin health gives the state no better than a grade of C for minorities and those without a high school education. This is Wisconsin Radio Network.
WRJN AccuWeather forecast. After starting out below zero this morning, we are in for a blustery and cold day today with sunshine and a few clouds. High today only around 16 degrees. Tonight mainly clear, brisk, and cold, but not quite as frigid as what we had this morning. We'll drop down to 13 tonight. Tomorrow not as cold, still brisk though with times of sun and clouds, high near 30. Mostly cloudy on Wednesday. There will be a little bit of snow around, which can accumulate a coating to an inch or so. High Wednesday around 33 degrees. For AccuWeather, I'm meteorologist Brian Thompson on your radio friend, WRJN.
That sounds better, BT, but right now we've got cloudy skies throughout southeast Wisconsin. It is 2, a dose in Kenosha, 3 at the Municipal Airport in Burlington, 2 at Milwaukee's Mitchell International Airport, and at Magnum.media's international headquarters in Racine at WRJN. Cloudy skies, a single digit. The wind is out of the southwest at 14, giving us a wind chill index of minus 17. The dew point is minus 10. The relative humidity, 60%. And the barometric pressure is, it's falling at 30.64. It's 9 minutes after 10 o'clock on your Thank God It's Monday Morning. This is Glenn Klein in the studio on Victory Avenue in between Kentucky and Orchard. I'm nice and warm. I hope you are too. Momentarily, we are going to be joined by the Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly, Robin Voss, from the mighty 63rd District. But first, let us take a trip throughout our great state. It is, after all, Christmas time in Wisconsin. The Mears Brothers on WRJN.
Attention all passengers. Flight 268 into Milwaukee is going to be delayed due to inclement weather.
I bet the cold wind's blowing in Milwaukee, and the snow is falling in Eau Claire, and I'm sure up in the Dells you can hear the Christmas bells in the distance ringing in the air. Madison, the capital's in light, all across the dairy land there's peace tonight. It's Christmas in Wisconsin, we're hanging out the wreaths, putting stars on top the trees and putting presents underneath. Home for the holidays is the only place to be, and that's Christmas in Wisconsin for me. I'm sure the kids in Fond du Lac are busy building snowmen in the yards. Moms and dads in Baraboo, I know they've been busy too, maxing out their credit cards, waiting for Kris Kringle and Racine. From Kenosha to Superior and every town that's in between. It's Christmas in Wisconsin, the snow is falling down, Lambeau Field is spreads a blanket on that sacred ground. Home for the holidays is the only place to be, and that's Christmas in Wisconsin for me. Let Lady Smith, they're courting old man Winter. And Hayward, they're flirting with Jack Frost. And up in Chippewa Falls, they're decking all the halls. They're skating on the river in a cross. You can feel the magic all across the state. Calling me back home, and I can hardly wait. It's Christmas in Wisconsin, they're hanging out the wreaths, putting stars on top the trees, and putting presents underneath. Home for the holidays is the only place to be. That's Christmas in Wisconsin. That's Christmas in Wisconsin. That's Christmas in Wisconsin for me.
All right, folks, we're going to start boarding flight 268 to Milwaukee out of gate C7. You light up.
That's Christmas in Wisconsin, the great seasonal tune from the Mears Brothers on your radio friend. 14 minutes after 10 o'clock, this is your friendly neighborhood radio talk show host, play-by-play man, and color analyst for life, all wrapped up into one nice, neat, lovable Christmas package. Glenn Klein for a thank God it's Monday morning, and he is the Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly, representative from the mighty 63rd District. Please welcome back to Community Conversation, Speaker Robin Voss. Good morning, Mr. Speaker.
Good morning, Glenn. Merry Christmas.
Same to you, sir. How great was that song?
You know what? It's actually pretty awesome because we do live in a place that, yes, it's cold and sometimes, you know, it's not the most fun to drive in, but I just can't imagine Christmas without snow. And the last couple of years, we haven't had snow like we do this year, so it certainly gets you in the spirit. If you're not feeling Christmas now, I don't know what it would take.
I can imagine Christmas without snow because I spent 22 of them in Tampa, where today the high temperature will be 86.
I know you did, but it just wouldn't be the same, Glenn. I palm trees with lights on it are pretty, but it's just not the Christmas that I think most people in Wisconsin appreciate.
It's very true. It would not be the same, but it is awesome.
Every other day but Christmas, I think it would be awesome.
I have a bone to pick with that song. It's a great song. It's my favorite Christmas song, new Christmas song. That and Santa Claus is Coming to Town by Bruce Springsteen. Not new, but my favorite Christmas song. And I've talked to the Mears Brothers about this. They did not fit in Eagle River in their litany of locales in our great Dairyland state.
And what'd they say?
They couldn't figure out a rhyme for Eagle River. And I was like,
well, that's something to ask your listeners. What could rhyme with Eagle River?
I had it taken out a sliver in Eagle River.
Oh, there you go. You're ready to go.
Did you notice the one for Racine? Kris Kringle is getting ready for Racine. See what they did there?
I did see that or hear that.
Kris Kringle.
I get it.
Yeah. So scale of
very creative though, and that's pretty cool.
Scale of 1 to 10. How excited are you that today the Electoral College is meeting and that we can finally put this silliness to rest?
Oh, I'm a 10 plus. Whatever happens with the election, the one thing I knew on Election Day is that most people wanted to put it behind us and let the new president, you know, now President-elect Trump, get to work and start solving America's problems. I think we're sick of talking about, you know, the horse race, the politics, who loves, who hates. I think people just want us to get down to work.
Now, as the beautiful humans know, and as you know, Mr. Speaker, I did not vote for Trump. I did not vote for Hillary. Could not have voted for either of them. However, the response of your colleagues on the left side of the aisle to this election has been embarrassing. We need the Democratic Party to be a strong, loyal opposition because one-party rule without much competition and without much challenge is a dangerous thing regardless of which party is in control.
On that, we definitely agree. And, you know, it's frustrating because the media has to do a little bit better job because can you imagine if the presidential electors for Hillary Clinton were receiving death threats and were being told that they had to change their vote for democracy, that the voters didn't know what they were doing, I mean, there would be major consternation talking about how it's a threat to our republic, and the same thing's happening to Trump electors, and it's kind of like people are shrugging their shoulders. So we need to get to a time where people realize that politics is important because it's how we choose our leaders, but once they're chosen, we need to let them do their job and do the best they can and then judge them when the next opportunity comes for an election, not just constantly berate people and, you know, try to shout them down or belittle their ideas. I think we owe it to democracy and to the republic that we live in to just be better citizens.
Well, it's not going to happen from the mainstream media. There's no way that they're going to give equal time or a balanced approach to people who support Donald Trump. It's just not going to happen. And yet Trump won. And Trump won resoundingly in the Electoral College. One of the things that has come up, and it came up, of course, in 2000 when George W. Bush defeated Al Gore in my former home state of Florida with the hanging chad. I was on the radio then, too, down there in Florida. That was insane. That was crazy. And it was just by, you know, a little less than 500 votes, again, pointing to the fact that every vote truly does matter. But having said that, the issue of the Electoral College came up then. It's come up again. Of course, if the situation were to be reversed, the media would not be fixated on the Electoral College. They would say that's the rules. And if the rules were the popular vote, the campaign would be completely different. What is your take on the Electoral College and how viable it is moving forward?
We are not going to change the Electoral College. I strongly support the current system. As Democrats have pointed out, Hillary's vote margin just in the state of California was the reason that she won the election. And while I respect the right of people in California to govern themselves, we live in a republic, which means that it shouldn't just be the majority that gets its way on everything. You need to have ways to make sure that the majority is checked. And that's why the Electoral College system, where they campaign in every state, because each state is important. It's not dominant just on Illinois, Florida, Texas, New York, and California. You know, Delaware, Connecticut, Wisconsin, we're just as important as any other state. And that's why the current system will never change, because it would take 3/4 of the states to change it. And I can't see small states giving away their ability to have an influence so that larger states dictate our future.
Not only will it never change, in my humble radio talk show host opinion, it should not change. I think it is part of the genius of our Constitution, because replete in the Constitution is a bunch of checks and balances. That's why we have three branches of government. That's why we have representatives representing the population in each state, and yet each state gets two senators. That's why we have a judiciary and a legislative branch. And that's our system. The system is really effective. But what do you think about the concept of, because obviously these electors have been under tremendous pressure from the left and from the media to reconsider their commitment to vote according to the state's results. What do you think about just having it automatically go to the winner of each state without having to have this electoral college gathering?
I mean, I'm open to that, but I think it would require a change to the Constitution. So I guess the current system has worked for our entire history. I don't see any real need to change it. Plus, the possibility would exist, what happens if someone dies between when they're sworn into office and when the new president takes effect. So, you know, there is at least that check and balance to make sure that there's a clean transition of power, especially if something bad would happen, because until the person becomes the vice president, they don't automatically assume the presidency upon the death of the president. So I would not want to have it be where, God forbid, something happens to the president-elect, and then we don't have a clear leader because the choice doesn't automatically go to the vice president. So I think there are reasons to keep it just like it is. As you mentioned, Glenn, the genius of the founding fathers is pretty profound, and I don't really want to change that. The only thing that has frustrated me over time is that we have been seeing more and more power rested in the executive branch, and they were supposed to be three co-equal branches, not have the judiciary tell us what to do or the president issue executive orders. The most power is always supposed to rest in the Congress or the legislature, and that's why, you know, the only thing we need to do is try to rebalance those powers, not take them and change the whole system.
If, let's say, God forbid, the president-elect would die, as I understand it, if it gets thrown into the House of Representatives, it's the top three vote-getters. So is what you're saying is that, let's say it would happen right now, that they would not be able to vote for Mike Pence? It would be the next three vote. It would be Hillary, Gary Johnson, and Jill Stein.
I don't know the answer to that. I don't want to say for sure. I thought it was the top three vote getters based on the party, so that, you know, you would put a new Republican up. It wouldn't just automatically become the three remaining. But I'd have to look that up. I don't know for sure.
He is the Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly, Robin Voss, from the mighty 63rd District. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation for, thank God, it's Monday morning. It is 23 minutes after 10 o'clock. So we're talking about the loyal opposition. And your loyal opposition, led by Senator Bob Wirch, the Democrat from Kenosha, is very upset and calling for a suspension of the tax credit that you guys put in. And here's his quote. I want to get your take on it. He said, "This credit, this tax credit, was slipped into the budget in the dead of night without notice or a public hearing. And it has turned out to be nothing but a special interest tax break that hasn't created jobs. We are again facing a tough budget, so it makes sense to suspend the tax credit for the next 2 years." That was from Senator Bob Wirch. How are you guys feeling about that tax credit?
Yeah, we're not going to adopt Bob Wirch's idea of how to grow the economy. So let's just be clear. The tax credit is based on manufacturers locating in Wisconsin. So we want more manufacturers to grow and thrive in our state. It's how our economy basically has three legs of a stool. We have manufacturing, tourism, and agriculture. So what we want is more manufacturers, because they have not only good paying jobs in their own business, but they spin off with vendors and suppliers who also provide good family supporting wages. So the problem with transportation is real, but I certainly think it doesn't make any sense to increase taxes on job creators to pay for roads that every single citizen in the state uses. Of course, businesses need good roads to be able to get workers to the workplace and goods to market, and that's why they pay fees and taxes just like all of us do. I really think we need to look at long-term solutions that aren't just raising, easy answers by saying we're going to raise taxes on one segment of the economy. That's why I've always believed in a user fee system with tolling or something where people use the process as they pay for it. I think that's the most viable long-term alternative.
How effective are you going to be to make that argument to Governor Walker?
Well, I'm going to keep working at it. I mean, I feel like we are making headway. I think if you ask most people in our state, they agree that our roads need to be fixed and that we have a long-term funding problem. That is obvious. Even Governor Walker's own transportation secretary said that with his plan that Governor Walker is proposing, our roads are going to be in worse shape in the next decade than they are today. Well, that's not how we want to run government. We want to make sure that they are at least the same, if not better, not getting worse. So, frankly, I'm disappointed in Governor Walker's proposal to basically just continue to borrow more money and delay projects. For those of us who live in Racine and Kenosha County, it will mean that we don't have a foreseeable plan to get the I-94 north-south rebuilt. And especially for southeastern Wisconsin, under Governor Walker's plan, it's going to be 70 years to rebuild the interstate system when, in fact, they're only 70 years old now. There's no way we can survive another 70 years. So we've got to have an answer that isn't just kicking the can down the road or running up the credit card.
Well, the governor is not willing to raise any revenue for transportation and for our roads unless it's offset by budget cuts. And you guys have already slashed the budget down to the bone.
We have done a pretty good job of controlling spending, yes. And that's where, you know, we want to continue to look for ways to save in the budget. So Governor Walker's own DOT, to their credit, has found about $1 billion in savings over the course of the past 6 years. So that's good. We're going to continue to look for more ways to reduce spending. But ultimately, you can't save your way into prosperity. I want to make sure as much money as possible stays in the pockets of moms and dads and families and businesses all across the state. But I also think most people want to have good quality roads. They want to have schools that they're proud of. And I think we've been able to do that. We've increased spending on schools because that's the right investment to make. And we did that by actually putting real money on the table. We need to do the same thing with transportation, not just run up the credit card hoping somebody else will pay for it with newfound money that just isn't going to come.
He's the representative from the 63rd District. He's the Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly, Robin Voss. This is Glenn Klein on WRJN's Community Conversation. So I've got an idea of how to raise the revenue.
Okay.
Why don't we do what Colorado, Washington State, Oregon, California, Washington, D.C., and now many other states in the country looking at this, legalize cannabis and tax it and regulate it?
I know that that is one of your ideas to raise revenues, and it's one that, you know, I certainly support CBD oil. I actually support medical marijuana if it's done with a prescription. A lot of those require changes at the federal level, and I think if I talk to my when I've talked to my colleagues in Colorado, yes, it has been a windfall, but most of that money has been used to go into drug treatment programs. So it's not like if you create legalized cannabis, you're not going to have other offsetting costs. So, you know, I think it's not really realistic until we see the federal government take some kind of action, because even in states like Colorado, it's still illegal. They're just choosing not to prosecute it. So, you know, we don't want people to have to commit a crime in order for us to be able to pay for our roads.
Exactly. That's why it should be changed. I mean, for our state.
But it's still a federal issue.
For our state that has such a wonderful, in my opinion, and should be responsible, party culture, alcohol culture, to be encouraging people to drink and to have a ballpark named Miller Park and a baseball team named the Brewers, to be putting people in jail for doing something that is less harmful, and not to mention the fact, good people doing things that are illegal, as you say, and to be potentially thrown into jail for doing something that is absolutely not harming anybody but themselves, if it is harming themselves. I think it's inconsistent. I think it's bad public policy.
I know you do.
All right. Well, speaking of munchies, what's the going seasonal popcorn? What's the big seller for Christmas?
We sell a lot of the tri-mix, where it's cheddar corn, caramel, and regular popcorn. This is a time of the year that a lot of people look for gifts to give for your customers if you're a business or for your family. And there's probably universal agreement that good food obviously not only satisfies the person who gives it, but we all love to eat good food. So popcorn, caramel corn, all those kind of things are a great gift, and we are seeing a lot of that be given this year.
I have another great idea for you besides legalizing cannabis. Ready?
I'm ready.
Along with the popcorn, kind of like the Chinese places give the fortune cookie with the little messages in it.
Uh-huh.
Along with the popcorn, you give a little pack of toothpicks with little messages on the toothpicks. You could put little conservative Republican messages on there.
Well, that's another thing that I'll put down with the possible legalization of cannabis as an idea.
you doing anything special for the holidays? You going away or anything?
No, we actually try to stick around with family. I have a niece and a nephew who live in Oak Creek. My sister lives there. My parents are still living with us, or living, they're alive, so we get together with them. I am blessed that I have a wonderful family who is close. My fiance has, her son's coming home from the Naval Academy, so he just came home yesterday. So more than anything, for so many people, I hope that Christmas is not about gift giving. It should be about remembering the reason for the season, and that's the birth of our Savior, and also spending time with family and recognizing that that's the most important thing that we live for, not for some kind of material things.
And eating popcorn.
And eating a little bit of popcorn.
As there's nothing better than that tri popcorn. I'm telling you, you get the caramel corn.
We sell a lot of it.
Yeah, they serve that hot. At Comiskey, or at whatever they're calling it now in Chicago on the South Side, the old Comiskey Park, you can get.
Yes, they do.
Oh my God, is that good? I'm hungry
yep,
right now.
And there's nothing like fresh cooked stuff.
No doubt. Well, thank you very
now,
much.
What about you? Do you go home to Florida? Where do you go for the holidays?
Well, I was in Florida for 10 days a couple weeks ago, but I'm not doing anything. I will be alone, lonely in the gingerbread house, all by myself. I'd be happy to come to your family gathering, you know, for invitation.
Well, you know, I'll definitely put that in the same list with the toothpicks and the cannabis.
Why don't I think that you're not being very forthcoming with this? It doesn't sound like that's a genuine invitation, but I do appreciate your time, as always, sir.
Thanks, Glenn. You have a wonderful holiday. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year to all you listeners.
Merry Christmas, Speaker Voss. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There he goes. The pretty good humor. He said he was in 10+, that today is the Electoral College vote day. So he's all pumped. We cover all the bases here. We had the super liberal Mark Baser on the first hour, conservative Republican Speaker of the State Assembly, Robin Voss. And on the other side of the great Tom Carco's award-winning, potentially award-winning newscast, which will be balanced as well, we will have today's Wingstop trivia question. It ain't going to be boring. Carco's on his way.
If your organization distributes information to